Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me.
Hey, hey.
And we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, and that is meat exports, because it's been such a bright spot for the ag industry over the past year. It seems like we talk about the struggles way too much, Davis, and having an opportunity now to talk about one of the bright spots in agriculture, I think, is really important. So let's bring in Dan Holstrom. He is the president and CEO of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Dan, how are you? Thank you for joining us on AgriTalk.
Yeah, good morning, Chip, and thank you for the invitation. Glad to be here.
Excellent, excellent. You know what? I want to start with where you've been, Dan, because this sounds really interesting to me, your trip to Dubai.
Yeah, I just returned this last weekend from Dubai, and I was over there. We were hosting a pavilion at the Gulf Food Show, which it's the 25th year the show's been conducted, but it's really grown into one of the largest food shows in the world. So well over 100,000 visitors and thousands of exhibitors, and it really has turned into a global food show. So it's not only Middle East customers of U.S. beef, but European, Southeast Asia, and Africa or some other places. So yeah, it's an exciting time.
Well, I mean, everybody's looking for a reason to go to Dubai, right?
Other than the flight to get there, it's too much fun.
But. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. So let's talk a little about that Middle Eastern market for U.S. beef. What is the potential?
Well, I think that's a lot of potential. Today, the market in the Middle East is relatively small. But you're looking at markets like the UAE, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia. If you look at them individually, they're all relatively small, but they are relatively important. They're growing markets, huge food service markets, and Saudi in particular is really interesting because in the last 2 years, they've really liberalized their culture, and women can drive now. You have movie theaters are open now. They were very controlled before. It's becoming very liberalized. And one of the things that comes along with an expanding and a growing economy and a more liberal economy is the desire for improved foodstuffs. And, to get high-quality U.S. beef in there is it's a bright spot, albeit small today, a growing bright spot.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Good to hear there. When we look back over some of the trade agreements that have been struck by the Trump administration, we've got the deal with South Korea, we've got phase one with Japan, we've got phase one with China, we've got USMCA that still needs to be ratified by Canada and officially signed. But the meat markets in particular, Dan, are they feeling any of the benefits of the deal that is done with South Korea and the phase one with Japan at this point?
Yeah, the answer is yes. And Korea, good, over the last 3 or 4 years, has been phenomenal. It's on the beef side especially. It's gone from a $500 million market to almost a $2 billion market. So that's a great example of a trade agreement that worked, and we were ahead of the competition. And we capitalized as an industry, and we're still capitalizing today. But I think an even bigger agreement was this recent one with Japan last fall. The Phase One Japan Ag Agreement is absolutely the best news I've heard in years, and I've been in this business a long, long time.
Yeah.
It's our largest beef and our largest pork market, has been for years, number one value on both beef and pork, and total of about $3.7 billion in sales in 2019. And keep in mind, and that was with headwinds. I mean, we were still growing even with all these headwinds. We were at a 13% duty disadvantage to major beef importers into Japan, primarily Australia, but also Canada. And on the pork side, it wasn't as big, but we had roughly a 6-7% duty disadvantage on processed pork and seasoned ground pork, very big volume items. And as of January 1, we're on a level playing field with all these folks. And quite honestly, Chip, if we're on a level playing field as it relates to the beef and pork industry, we can win. And So I'm looking forward to growth, phenomenal growth over the next couple of years well over $4 billion is our estimate for the next 2 years from where we're at today on beef and pork. So it's exciting with Japan.
Yeah, no doubt. And with China, there was word yesterday that they are opening up to more U.S. beef. Is that right? From beef from animals over 30 months of age or something?
Well, that was the announcement, but okay. The devil's in the details. Nothing's been finalized. The working level, USDA, FAS at the working level are negotiating exactly what that means in terms of the details for our exporters. And while it sounds optimistic, I hesitate to celebrate until we see the details on that.
Right. Okay. So with China, we're still focused on pork primarily, right?
Pork is the big one, correct? And the situation there. You know, we look at the end of last year, the last 4 or 5 months of 2019, and we had just huge increases in our exports of pork product because of the African swine fever issue that was predominant throughout China. So we went from a $570 million market in 2019 directly into China to a $1.3 billion market in 1 year, or actually in half a year. And let's face it, you have a situation where the world's largest hog herd has been decimated by ASF. You can pick a number, but one of the common numbers is 50% of their herd. So that's roughly 25% of the world's hogs that are no longer there. So from a supply standpoint, we're at a very short position going forward throughout the next year or two for sure.
Okay. So South Korea, Japan, China, that whole Asian market has so much potential, but we haven't even talked about some of the other markets, Dan, like Vietnam.
Right.
There are many other in the Pacific Rim that are growth markets for U.S. meats.
Exactly. Yeah, very good point. I think Vietnam is one, but Philippines on the pork side especially is a huge opportunity. Indonesia on the beef side is a huge opportunity. Malaysia, it goes on and on. And these are, for the most part, developing economies that every year the middle class is expanding and their desire for higher quality foodstuffs, primarily beef and pork, is growing. So, there's a lot of potential throughout that region.
You know, Dan, when I talk about the growing middle class in Asia, and when I'm out talking to a group, I'll mention it, and then I'll stop, and then I'll look at the group and see how many of them are rolling their eyes because it's a story that they've been hearing for so long. They've just kind of gotten tired of hearing it. My answer to them is tough. It's happening. It's happening right now. You need to be aware of it because this is going to be an opportunity for the U.S. going forward that it may be an opportunity like we've never seen for the meat industry before, right?
Exactly right. Yeah, it's and I'll be honest with you, we're not the only ones that have figured it out. The competitors out there, Australia on the beef side, Canada, Mexico, and Europe on the pork side, everyone's well aware of it, but I think we are uniquely positioned to take advantage of it. When you look at our high-quality, grain-fed animals, both on the beef and the pork side, for the most part, in a lot of cases, we're slaughtering a lot younger animals. They're more tender, more flavorful.
Yep.
Compared to the largest exporter in the world on beef, Indian beef, which is really buffalo meat.
Buffalo.
You're comparing apples and grapefruits, So we're really well positioned. And one other thing I'd like to add is we talk a lot here about Asia, but the other big thing going on is USMCA with Canada and Mexico.
Yep.
And I would put it a close second behind Japan in terms of potential benefit for our U.S. Beef and pork industries. A lot of other industries too, but in our world, beef and pork. And getting it through the U.S. Congress was a huge win, I think, for our industries. The Trump administration, of course, it could have been earlier. Everyone wanted it earlier, but we finally got it done. And Canada will end up passing it soon here as well. This is another factor of guaranteeing our reputation as a reliable supplier to two of our biggest trading partners in Canada and Mexico. And we had zero duty under NAFTA, and getting USMCA done virtually guarantee zero duty going forward for our products. The other very cool thing about USMCA and the Canada and Mexico markets is the product mix for beef and pork complements Asia. In other words, I'll just name off a few items here, but okay. In the case of Asia, they're very big on the beef side, very big with chucks, you know, tongues, short ribs, short plates, things like this.
Okay.
If you look at the USMCA markets, they don't take those products. They take a lot of rounds. I hate to think what the price of rounds would be in the U.S. market if we didn't have those markets.
Dan, we're out of time. We need to get you back on and talk more about that Mexican market. It's really great. Thank you so much, Dan. We'll talk to you later.